Welcome to the John Lothian News Daily Update Podcast. It is July 21st, 2023, and I'm your host, John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from today's John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from its hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from the previous edition of the newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to check out our history of trading videos on johnlothiannews.com on the MarketsWiki Education page, including the Open Outcry Traders History Project and the Path to Electronic Trading video series. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. Yesterday, JLN published an interview I did with TSX Venture Exchange head Tim Babcock about TSX's Venture Forward initiative, which it announced in June. There is a video version of this interview and a podcast version. The podcast version is the full discussion between Babcock and me about TSX's initiative and action steps they are taking to implement it. We also published an interview JLN correspondent Julie Ross did at FIA IDX in June with Charlotte Aliot of Euronext, in which Aliot talks about Euronext's strategic plan, milestones, progress. You can see that interview with a link in today's newsletter. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that the U.S. Justice Department is revamping its crypto enforcement team, the National Cryptocurrency Enforcement Team. The team will more than double and will be a permanent section of the agency that investigates computer-related crimes, the journal said. The Wall Street Journal has hit the nail on the head about the impact of this historic worldwide heat with a story titled, Where Heat Waves Lead, Food Inflation Will Follow, with the subheading, Record Temperatures in the U.S., Europe offer preview of harsh conditions farmers will likely face as the climate changes. The story includes statistics like the Kansas wheat crop is expected to be 22% smaller than last year, USDA recently estimated. Also in Europe, Spanish wheat crop yields are forecast to be 38% below their five-year average, the journal reported. And a major Italian dairy organization said cows stressed by the hot weather are producing 10% less milk than normal. On Thursday, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration said last month was the planet's warmest June since the global temperature record-keeping began in 1850, the New York Times reported. The story said there is little relief in sight. Singer Tony Bennett, who once performed at FIA Boca, has died at the age of 96, the New York Times reported. I remember seeing Bennett sing and was amazed at how well he sounded for a man of his age, though I thought he did not have the lung capacity of his earlier years. But the man could croon. It appears journalist colleagues at CoinDesk are about to get new owners, as Bloomberg has a story titled, Digital Currency Group is said near deal to sell CoinDesk to investor group A's. Jim Carruth, IncubEx communications director, wrote a summary of the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, CFTC, second voluntary carbon markets convening titled Bringing Markets Together. The lead story is, this was a remarkable week for the voluntary carbon markets as dozens of professionals from market participants, exchanges, brokers, traders, associations, rating agencies, consultants, standards organizations, and others met with the Commodity Futures Trading Commission for the second voluntary carbon markets convening. Our friends at Exchange Analytics have launched new global AML courses that will streamline the process for chief compliance officers who have had to deal with multiple AML courses for different countries. The courses, which are role-based and regularly updated, can be found with the link in today's newsletter. The webinar, Transforming Urban Mobility, Harnessing Innovations for Sustainable Cities, takes place place July 26th at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. As cities continue to evolve, moving people and goods in reliable, efficient, and inclusive ways is essential. City officials working with private sector innovators through open innovation calls, hackathons, challenges, or other mechanisms that attract entrepreneurship can address challenges and bring about socioeconomic and environmental change. This webinar presents two case studies of successful city private sector partnerships addressing urban mobility issues in cities in Brazil and India. Our most read stories yesterday on JLN options were why gold options are gaining momentum, NASDAQ 100 reshuffle adds twist to $2.4 trillion options event, and demand for volatility products is growing across derivatives markets, says report. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Here's the video referenced earlier. Charlotte Alliot talks about Euronext's strategic plan, Milestone Progress. Charlotte Alliot, the head of institutional derivatives for Euronext, was interviewed by JLN correspondent Julie Ross at the recent FIA International Derivatives Week, IDX, about the progress Euronext has made in its clearing migration, which is a major milestone in its strategic plan. Watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. And then here's the video that I did with Tim Babcock. TSX Venture Exchange head Tim Babcock expounds on TSX's Venture Forward initiative to JLN. Tim Babcock, the vice president and head of TSX Venture Exchange, was recently interviewed by John Lothian News about TSX's Venture Forward initiative, which is designed to strengthen Canada's public venture market, the foundation of the country's capital formation ecosystem. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from Chicago Crane's Business. Massive distressed Loop office building goes up for sale. One of the city's largest distressed office buildings is being marketed for sale in an effort to try to avoid a lengthy foreclosure process, an offering that will test how real estate investors feel about the post-COVID prospects for offices in the heart of the Loop. A court-appointed receiver has tapped real estate services firm Jones Lang LaSalle to market the 1.4 million square foot office building at 175 West Jackson Boulevard, according to a flyer. My comment, right next door to the CBOT building, the insurance exchange building is going up for sale in a distressed sale. Here's a story from Decrypt. Crypto funds linked to fentanyl trade come mostly from centralized exchanges, Elliptic. Crypto plays a significant role in funding the global fentanyl trade, sparking recent calls for tighter DeFi rules on Capitol Hill. However, suppliers in China that ship chemicals to manufacture the deadly drug receive funds that mostly originate from centralized crypto exchanges, according to a new report. According to the report released by Elliptic on Thursday, the blockchain analytics firm identified $32 million worth of crypto income in dealers' digital wallets. It found 100 China-based suppliers that accepted crypto in exchange for pill presses and fentanyl precursor chemicals. My comment, maybe there's a good reason the Justice Department doubled the number of prosecutors and created a permanent crypto enforcement team. Here's a story from Reuters. Russia hits Ukraine grain for fourth day, practices seizing ships. Russia pounded Ukrainian food export facilities for a fourth day in a row on Friday and practiced seizing ships in the Black Sea in an escalation of what Western leaders say is an attempt to wriggle out of sanctions by threatening a global food crisis. The direct attacks on Ukraine's grain, a key part of the global food chain, followed a vow by Kiev to defy Russia's naval blockade on its grain export ports following Moscow's withdrawal this week from a UN-brokered Safe Sea Corridor agreement. My comment, I did not realize it was Act Like a Pirate Day. Here's a story from Bloomberg. Extreme heat, weather conditions attributed to stagnant jet stream. It is no coincidence that extreme heat is engulfing huge swaths of Asia, Europe, and North America America, all at the same time. Powerful weather forces are combining to create the planet-wide conditions, and there's unlikely to be relief from the scorching temperatures anytime soon. Climate change is at the heart of what's boosting heat to new records. But there's more to the picture. The way the Earth and the atmosphere are wired means that the weather in one location can influence conditions on the other side of the globe, with high and low pressure zones helping to create the links. The phenomena is called teleconnections by meteorologists, and it all has to do with how air is moving around the atmosphere. My comment. I would blame the problem with teleconnections on Teletubbies. Wait. Have the Republicans done that already? Thursday's top three. Our top story Thursday, Crispin Ode, The Fall of a Hedge Fund Maverick, a film from the Financial Times. Second was a tie between our MarketsWiki page for Boston Regulation CEO Tony McCormick, who, John, that's me, mentioned, has written a self-published book for his family and friends telling his life story, and FIA's LinkedIn post welcoming Core Financial, a regtech software firm, as a new member. Third was the 115-degree Fahrenheit heat is killing phones in Sardinia, from Bloomberg. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first story is from the Financial Times. The headline, Jetstream pattern and heat domes fuel soaring temperatures around the globe. Scientists studying band of fast-moving air that influences mid-latitudes weather. Simultaneous heat waves and flooding in swaths of the U.S., Europe, and Asia are being fueled by a specific jet stream pattern that creates a series of heat domes, which in turn drive up temperatures, scientists say. The fast-moving band of air that is a key driver of global weather systems has been locked for weeks in a pattern characterized by five large U-bend shapes, dubbed Wave Number 5. Scientists say such a pattern was also behind the extreme weather seen around the world last year. Here's another story from the Financial Times. The headline, Indian ban on rice exports stokes fears of global food inflation. Action by grain's biggest exporter comes in same week that Russian targets wheat. India has banned exports on non-basmati white rice, stoking fears of further global food inflation, just as Russia's targeting of grain ships has pushed up wheat and corn prices. India's Ministry of Consumer Affairs said on Thursday it would prohibit exports to lower the price as well as ensure availability in the domestic market. Rice prices in India have risen 11.5% over the past year and 3% over the past month, according to the ministry, reflecting a 35% year-on-year surge in the export volumes between April and June. Here's another story, this one from Bloomberg. The headline, Wall Street research won't easily recover from MiFID rules. Doomsayers who predicted the dire impact MiFID II would have on the business of equity research turned out to be spot on, as regulators finally reached the same conclusion and prepare to reverse the rules. The market Cassandras have an equally gloomy message. The damage will be hard to undo. 5 years after the regulation forced asset managers in the UK and European Union to pay for equity for research separately from trading, sell-side analysis across the region is in a sorry state. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling your friends about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This podcast has been produced by Andrew Lothian.